الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولي الصالحين وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومطاعنا محمد خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض وقال تعالى وما لكم لا تقاتلون في سبيل الله والمستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان الذين يقولون ربنا أخرجنا من هذه القرية الظالم أهلها صدق الله مولانا العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم كمثل الجسد الواحد أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام أما بعد Friends and elders, respected ulama, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The crisis affecting the Muslim Ummah in various parts of the world is really intense and really severe, and it continues to deteriorate day by day. Muslims have been the target, Muslims have been on the receiving end for a number of decades now, and the situation continues to degenerate. Everywhere we look, from east to west, from north to south, the situation is really severe, the situation is terrible. Things have been developing and unfolding for the last 5 decades or so, where the focus has been on what has happened in Palestine and in more recent years in Syria. When we look at what had transpired in Somalia, in Kashmir, in the Central Africa, in the Horn of Africa, parts of East Africa, and similarly other parts of the world. And what has now developed in the last few days is with regards to what's happening in Myanmar, that country which was previously known as Burma. Now, for us as believers, what does it concern us when Muslims are affected in a particular place? In certain instances, it may be of direct relevance where we have family members that are living in that country. In some instances, we may think that it does not affect my day-to-day life. I'm going through with my day-to-day life. How does a crisis that affects Muslims in a different part of the world affect me? Now, what we need to understand is what the verse of the Quran says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ, that the Muslim men and the Muslim women, they are helpers, they are supporters, they are guardians of one another. We have a close link to one another. Allah has outlined that in the Noble Quran. Similarly, in the hadith, it is stated, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادِهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ وَتَعَتُفِهِمْ. The similitude of the believers in their mutual love, their mutual display of compassion, their mutual affection for one another, their similitude is like the similitude of one body, that we are all linked. That is how we are connected to one another. The body, if there's any problem that affects the body, if there's a pain on a finger limb or the tip of a finger, that affects the entire body. Similarly, if there's a problem that affects a Muslim in the most remote part of the world, a place that perhaps many of you may not have heard of before, like Burma, Myanmar. Yet the dictates of your iman is such that you ought to feel the pain in your heart. And if you do not feel the pain, then you need to question your own iman. Then you need to question as to what is the level of my belief, my iman and conviction. And why is it that I do not feel that connectivity with members of the ummah in different parts of the world? Allah says in the verse of the Quran, وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُقَاتِلُونَ. And why is it that you do not go out and fight? فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمُسْتَضَعْفُونَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ. When there are the weak ones from the men and the women and from the children, they have been oppressed. يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَخْرِجْنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْقَرْيَةِ الظَّالِمِ أَهْلُهَا. They are calling out and they are saying, "Oh Allah, take us out from this village, this land where we are being oppressed." Now it may not be in our capacity to render the military support to those that are being oppressed at this moment. But when we are not in that position, then we need to call out to those who can assist. Like in the instance when, in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a particular person, Abu Jundal, who was being, radiallahu anhu, was being oppressed. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is there anyone who can help him? And that is one of the avenues that we can explore as to trump up support and garner support from those who are in the position to help the people of Myanmar. Now let us understand the history of the Muslims in this particular land and the various aspects that we need to consider for our own good and our own salvation. When we look at this country of Myanmar, then broadly speaking, there were three types of Muslims that dwelled and lived over here. The one is those Muslims who migrated from India and lived in Myanmar, which is a neighboring state. And they lived here for roughly 300 years. And it was in the 1960s that one of the international scholars, Abu Hassan Ali, who was very affectionately known as Mulana Ali Mia, who was such a scholar who was accepted by Arab and Ajam. He was from India, yet the Arabs acknowledged him, and many of his books are studied in universities in the Arab world up until today. He had visited this land, and in the 1960s, he spoke to these Indian Muslims who were living in Myanmar, and he said to them that I see you to be living in a very luxurious, in a very comfortable manner, enjoying all the resources of this land. He knew that they were not from there originally, and he said to them, I'm giving you four advices. Number one, be honest in your business transactions. Number two, have good relations with those who are the original dwellers of this land. Number three, make special effort with regards to the passing on of the knowledge of deen to your progeny. And number four, focus on the propagation of deen. And he said to them, if you do not make effort in this regard, then the time will come when you will be exiled from this land. And lo and behold, it wasn't many years after that that these very people were forced to leave this land. Their wealth was taken away from them and they were kicked out from Burma, from Myanmar. They did not pay much attention to the advices that were rendered to them by this great scholar, and they had to bear the consequences of the warnings that were given to him. A point of reflection for every one of us sitting here today, considering our own backgrounds and from different parts of the world, that we may have come to this land in the tip of the southern African or southern Africa or the African continent, that what is the objectives for what we've come? Is it solely to further our own position and to better ourselves in terms of monetary gain? What about our responsibilities to those who dwell here? And what effort are we making in terms of being honest businessmen, propagating the deen of Islam, instilling the deen within our own progeny, and also showing good character and conduct? So this was the one group who dwelled in Myanmar. The second group is those who were from the progeny of these people, but then they also married with the locals. Then there was the third group. They are those who were originally from China. They are the Hui Muslims. That when there was some problems in China in the 14th century with the Yuan dynasty, they moved from the southwest or northwest of China and they came and lived in Myanmar. And then you have the fourth type of Muslims in Myanmar, and these are the Rohingya Muslims. They are from the Arakan kingdom. They've been living here for 800 years, living very peacefully, part of the original dwellers of Myanmar. But what had happened about 70 years ago, when Myanmar had gained its independence, and it was simultaneously at the time of the formation of India and Pakistan, then at that time, this region that was originally part of India was declared to be part of Burma. And in Burma, you have 90% Buddhist, 6% Christians, 2% Muslims. So they were declared as to be part of Burma. And this was part of the British grand scheme. Wherever they go, they divide and they rule. Like someone said, that if you go at the bottom of the ocean and you find two fish fighting, know that the British were definitely over there. That is what they do. They create ethnic differences and allow then that to be the basis for problems to brew between people who lived for many decades together, and they start fighting each other, and the British then very conveniently pull out of the region. So they've been living there for all that years. In the 1960s, with the formation of Myanmar,